You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 151 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. So you want to be a doula? What does a doula actually do? How can I become one? How much does it cost? Will I be able to make the money back from the training and the courses that I take? How much should I charge? If you want answers to these questions and more, this episode is for you. I'm excited to launch our second cohort of the Sisters in Loss Birth and Bereavement Doula Training and Certification Program. This doula certification program will run for 6 weeks beginning on Sunday, June the 7th, 2020 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information on how to register, go to sistersinloss.com/doula training. In today's episode, I share what a doula is, the different types of doulas, doula certification programs that support Black mamas and birthing persons, and the cost to become certified. This episode is for you to listen to if you have wanted to become a doula and not sure where to start. Stay tuned until the end for a special discount code just for the Sisters in Loss listeners who want to become a Sisters in Loss doula. So you want to become a doula? Here it is. So today in the webinar, we're going to go just quickly through just the what's in the how's is more so what you would go through in a doula certification program. You know, really, what does it mean to be an advocate for an expectant mother? What does it mean to actually provide support during pregnancy, labor, the birthing process? If you've experienced, if your client has experienced a loss, if they're going through an abortion, and then what does postpartum look like? And how do you provide that support? And then the different ethics, standards, and requirements that are there for certification programs. And are we really truly looking at evidence-based birthing standards when it comes to doula certification? So I have a good list of doula certification programs that I like and I love that I think that are excellent, that are out there, fit that evidence-based birth profile, that holistic profile that comes from a cultural perspective. And I know that you all will benefit from that towards the end of the presentation. So that's what we're going to learn, just talk a little bit about today. I'm not going to take up too much of your time, but this presentation in whole should be about 30 minutes. And then I'm leaving the last, like, learning from some of the doulas that are on the presentation, and then just learning in general about other programs that people have benefited from. I'm Erica McAfee. I am the founder of Sisters in Loss, and which is a media platform where we share stories of Black women who've experienced miscarriage, infant loss, and infertility, along with the podcast and a support community. I'm a certified birth and bereavement doula through Still Birthday, which I'll talk about Still Birthday and my experience later on. I also have done some grief specialist work, and I'm a maternal near-miss survivor. I almost lost my life giving birth to my son, and I've experienced two prior losses, which really led me to starting Sisters in Loss, the podcast, the support community, and then becoming a doula. So that's kind of how my trajectory went. I didn't come into this wanting to become a doula once I started my podcast, but ultimately I knew that becoming a doula was something that I ultimately wanted to be able to work with, support people one-on-one as they went through their birth process, but also to be able to provide support to families who have lost babies on the other side. So I don't really call myself a full spectrum doula because I don't do postpartum, and we'll kind of go into the differences of that.
But I do provide support postpartum for women who've experienced loss, just because I know that that's a different kind of grief that goes there versus if you had a baby that you took home. For the moms who don't have babies to take home, I do provide a little bit more postpartum. So we can talk, we'll talk about those differences there. I do have a son. He's my rainbow baby. He's my angel. He's my baby God that allowed me to keep here on earth. And his name is Maxwell. We call him Super Body Max. But my goal and my mission is to help women conquer grief from miscarriage, infant loss, and infertility, to strengthen their faith, help them gain clarity and peace, and thrive in their new normal. So you all are in the right place, because what are the statistics? You all have seen them. You have heard them. We have reiterated them up and down, sideways, pretty much over the last 3 years, as you've seen. A lot of different stories and different anecdotes have come out around Black infant mortality as well as maternal mortality. But obviously, I'm going to focus on infant mortality here, because I think that both infant mortality and maternal mortality can be combated by having more doulas present, and then specifically more women of color and Black doulas present. So as you can see, 5.8 is the infant death rate in the United States per 1,000 live births, according to the CDC. This is a picture of my son when he was just born. I just wanted to show him because he was a preemie. He was born at 32 weeks, and he almost passed away. You know, they had to resuscitate him at birth, and he could have been a part of this statistic, but he was not. You know, God was able to spare him. He was able to be able to breathe. You know, my son does have a physical disability, being without oxygen for some unknown period of time. I did not have a birth doula during this pregnancy. So we want to make sure that we are coming in as support roles, as support people, especially if you're interested in becoming an aspiring doula. If you are a doula and wanting to learn more about how to hone your craft and become more amped on the loss side, you know, we want to make sure that we are cutting this number in half and making it zero ultimately. This is another chart of just infant mortality by state. One thing I like to point out in general around states is that this chart is back from 2015. I have not seen the newer versions, but once those numbers come out, I'm sure we'll be able to see where is infant mortality rates per state by state. But mainly for those who are on the phone, you can see, for those who are watching, majority of our infant mortality rates, the increases and the higher rates are in the South. These are your Southern states. These are your North Carolina, your South Carolina, your Tennessee, your Arkansas, your Oklahoma, your Louisiana, your Mississippi, your Alabama, your Georgia, your Florida. These are your Southern states that have the higher infant mortality rate, which makes up our overall average, that 5.89. And it's the reason why we need more birth workers in the workplace, in the field, helping out those who are marginalized, disenfranchised, who may not have the same adequate care in some of the rural areas, specifically in the South, and that we are there as a community to provide them the support they're needed so that they can be educated, but also be able to advocate for themselves and have different birth outcomes. Then we go back to just the racial disparities amongst infants. And what does that look like from an infant mortality perspective? And this is also from that same 2015 data per 1,000 live births. Asians are lowest on the scale, about 3.6. Your non-white Hispanics are 4.9. Your Hispanics are 5. Your Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders are 7.4. Your American Indian or Alaskan Natives are 9.4. And then, of course, your non-Hispanic Blacks tip the scale at 11.4 per rate, infant mortality rate per 1,000 live birth. As I mentioned before, this is from 2015. This data is a little dated. There is more data out there that shows even more of a disparity amongst non-Hispanic Blacks, and how this is definitely a crisis that we're in when it comes to infant mortality as well as maternal mortality, and how and why doulas are needed to help combat this mortality. So what does all this mean? It basically means that if we have continuous labor support, that it increases the oxytocin, it increases the mobility, the self-esteem, it decreases the pain, the fear, the anxiety. For a lot of the moms that I interview on my podcast who have underlying conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome, you know, I just interviewed a lady today that had hypothyroidism, you know, fibroids, ovarian cysts, endometriosis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of how those things can, and stressors, I mean, let alone stressors of being women in a male dominated field when it comes to OBGYN, but also for people who are marginalized, you know, the folks who are on Medicaid or Medicare, the folks who may not have, you know, as much as others as far as insurance is concerned. For those other disenfranchised communities, they just need that support in order to birth babies healthily. And what this shows on this graph here is that it shows that we're, with all of that coming together with the support of a doula or a labor support person, it has shown that we've had decreased epidurals, decrease of extra interventions, whether it's Pitocin or other types of interventions that a lot of the doctors use into birthing babies, shorter labor periods. And then it can increase folks to actually have a vaginal birth. You decrease in your C-section rates, and ultimately you're getting a better infant outcome overall. And that is ultimately what we all want. We want to make sure that mom and baby go home, that they are not left in that hospital for long periods of time. So granted, you know, mom may have to stay in the hospital, baby may have to stay in the hospital, but ultimately that we have better outcomes and those infant mortality and maternal mortality rates are slashed in half and we go down to zero. So that's why Black doulas are needed. And that is why you all are on this call. I just wanted to show you the numbers and to kind of understand for you all to understand exactly why we need labor support. So doulas support families. I won't just say, you know, mom or dad. I'll say the entire family as a whole before, during, and after childbirth. And as you all know, doulas are a non-clinically trained support person who provides emotional, physical, and informational assistance before, during, and after childbirth. And in some cases, some doulas step in even during that fertility period where you're trying to conceive. So you have those type of fertility doulas as well. Doulas supplement medical support. They don't replace them. In many states, you can have a certified nurse midwife or a certified midwife to help and replace that medical support for that state. But each state is different on how they use midwives. So I would say that you all go definitely do your research on how midwives are supported in your state. If they have to be under a care of an OBGYN or some type of medical professional, but doulas are kind of your support person. They support the person, support the family. And one thing that you learn as you go through a doula certification program is how to, for women who do want to labor without getting pain relief, how to use, you know, movements and pressure points in order to reduce pain and move that energy around their bodies as they're going through the laboring process. I still say you still need a doula if you want epidural pain relief, regardless, you know, you still need a doula. If you've gone through, a positive birth experience before, I still think you need a doula. If you've gone through a negative or traumatic birth experience before, you still need a doula. I think every scenario that you can put out there, I think doula support is still needed. And I think that a doula can still be there to help guide you and advocate you and give you and provide you the information as well as your family the information so that you can advocate for yourself. So these are some ways that doulas overall help bring home a happy baby and a happy mom. So what does it mean to be an advocate for an expectant mom? So an advocate is can be the person who is the life partner, but it also can be, you know, a friend who had a baby, a relative with a calm present. But one thing I would say as an advocate in general, if you all have been in a room where mom, dad, families were birthed in, is that we all have to speak up, have the courage to speak up, even if your voice cracks, is when you should speak up. So being an advocate in any situation, whether you're advocating for your parents, advocating for your own children, people in your community, your church members, you have to speak up even when your voice shakes, because ultimately that is when you know your point is needed to get across. And even if people aren't listening, you still need to speak up and share whatever darn you may have when it comes to that expectant mother. Another thing is to know what evidence-based care is. Evidence-based care is exactly what it says. It's evidence-based, you know, exactly what could happen, not what the practitioner or doctor thinks they can happen based off of some experience, his colleague, you know, his or her colleague. It needs to be actually evidence-based and making sure that the doctors or the clinicians or the practices that a lot of the patients go to, that they practice that and they can answer those hard questions like, what is your infant mortality rate? You know, how many cesareans have you done in the last year? You know, do you believe in a vaginal birth after cesarean? Do you believe in delivering a breech birth? You know, some questions that are a little bit harder to answer that a lot of doctors and a lot of people push away from, because ultimately, you know, healthcare is about money and a lot of doctors want to cut people open versus actually allow them to go through the birthing process. So you want to know what evidence-based that looks like for your community, for you, the hospitals that are around you, and then definitely for the clients that you get, if they are asking those hard questions to their practitioners, and if they're not liking those answers, that they shop around and find someone that is going to support them with their needs and their wants and their desires. To know what the patient's rights are, every state's different when it comes to patients' rights. You have to know what your patient's rights is, and then also know how to advocate for your expectant parent on their rights, and giving them those tools and that knowledge on what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. and then lastly, here is to you're going to be helping advocate them when it comes to their birth plan as a doula, and that means plan A doesn't work, what is plan B? If plan B doesn't work, what is plan C? And that you help advocate and advise them on those challenges based on, you know, their underlying conditions, if they're low risk, if they're high risk, if they're in between, what does that look like and what ultimately is going to satisfy them so that they can reduce the trauma that they have during their birthing experience, and then that they come home happy and feeling fulfilled, that, you know, that they were heard, that they were listened to, that all of those things happen as an advocate for that parent. It also means that you are aware of your surroundings while you're working with the patient, that you are curious and you are continuing to dig and ask those feeler questions, why, the when, the how, and sometimes those five whys help drive a solution and get down to the root cause, that you're specific about how you approach situations and how you word things, that you're clear and your demands and your requests, and that you're ready for if something does not go as planned, that you're steady, that you're calm, and that you're able to guide and advocate for that expectant mom, even though you know that the situation may not be going as they would have liked. What does it mean to provide support during birth, labor, postpartum for moms or parents who have experienced also abortion? It means that you are going to provide them some unbiased, evidence-based information and support. You're going to give them the information they need. I always say that like doulas are your first stop in a childbirth education class. Like what a lot of people do not do is they don't overly research what childbirth is like, or if they have X, Y, Z underlying condition, what does that look like for them? And you can help provide them that evidence-based information based on their condition, based on what they've shared with you, and give them the support they needed to make an informed decision. It also means that you are there 24/7, in person, by text, by phone, and then when they are ready to birth, that you are there 100% during that birthing moment and that birthing time. And one thing I love about being a part of a community doula program, as we have a community doula group here locally where I am, that we can, if you work with other doulas, you all can swap off and don't have to bear the burden of being at a 48-hour birth, you know, or what have you. And you all can work together as a community doula to support mom and family as they're going through their birthing process. Another thing that you would be doing is providing in-home visit, educating on birth plans, continuous support throughout the labor process, helping them translate medical language or really ask the questions, or, you know, if they go to a doctor's appointment and they might be familiar with the terminology and they come back to you, you can give them some tools on where to go look for more details, and then they can go back to the doctor and ask the doctor more questions so that they can make an informed decision on their behalf. The whole goal is for the birthing families to make an informed decision on their behalf. It's not for us as doulas or support roles to make decisions for them. It's to give them the tools that they need so that they can make the informed decisions that they want to. And then for those who've experienced loss or are going through abortion, is to make sure that you have them, that you're providing them that grief and that comfort if they've gone through those experiences, to help them make sure that postpartum period is what they desire, even though the outcome was not what they initially wanted. And then also for those who go through the postpartum program or go through a postpartum doula program, that they know exactly what that fourth trimester or that postpartum period looks like, from, you know, breastfeeding to ensuring that they're getting enough fluids, you know, looking for signs of maternal mental health issues, you know, with postpartum depression or those kind of things. So this is just a small list, but there's so much more on what it means to provide support for a birthing family. And in each of the different categories of what a doula is, they go into way more detail, but I just wanted to kind of give you all a high level overview of actually what it means. But it is a community effort. It's not just I like to say it's a community effort, because it's not just you. You are as a doula representing your community, but you need a surrounding sisterhood, a brotherhood that is helping you out to make sure that mom, baby, dad are all there healthy. I want to talk about bereavement doula just because it's something that I focus on. You know, A bereavement doula's goal is very similar to a birth doula's. You know, the client heal from loss, removing anxiety and fear, and find peace and hope on the client's pregnancy after loss journey. But with a bereavement client, this is a client who has gone through a loss, whether it's a miscarriage or a stillbirth, or they've gone through an IVF loss, that you still are, for most cases, are going through some type of birthing process. So you still would go through the birthing process. You would, you know, welcome the baby, but then you actually have to tell the baby goodbye. And in some cases, when it comes to miscarriage and abortion, especially if you have a DNC, you don't get to see the baby. You don't get to actually feel and hold and touch the baby. And sometimes certain hospitals will allow you opportunities to not necessarily see the remains, but they will hold the remains and do a ceremony. They do ceremonies like once a quarter for all babies who have passed away. And you can ask that the babies or your client's remains be a part of that type of ceremony. There is a farewell portion of being a bereavement doula that you really have to focus on. What does that look like? Does it look like they're cremating the baby? They're donating the baby to science. They're going to do a formalized program later on. Are they going to actually have a funeral? Do they have something to put the baby in to bury them for a funeral? You know, what does that look like from a cost perspective? Do we have a funeral program for them? You know, how do we support that family after the loss? What does that healing journey look like for them? Do we automatically put them into some type of grief and support program for the family? Not just mom and dad, because a lot of families have other children. So what does that look like for children as well? Do they go through some initial therapy period? And what does that look like? Does the hospital or clinic support that? A lot of bereavement go very specifically into what does that farewell and healing process look like, because it's different for every client, it's different for every scenario, but it's very much so the same. And you want to make sure that the parents and the families go home knowing that they were loved and cared for, and that they they aren't alone, really. That's ultimately what you want to make sure that they understand. So bereavement doulas is a different niche, but it's something that I focus on because I know what it feels like to go home empty-handed. And I want to make sure that no other families leave. If they do leave empty-handed, they leave empty-handed feeling loved, they feeling supported, and they feel whole ultimately after that process. So what does a certification program really look like? There are so many ways to become a doula. I know that's probably why you're on this call. You're like, girl, like, I don't even know what to choose or what are the different kinds of doulas. So there's so many different ways on to become a doula, but I would tell you all to choose a program that really aligns with your benefits and your values. There, to become a holistic doula, this is a person who believes in more of your holistic and your wellness platforms. They are looking at the internal as well as the external when it comes to the wellness of the client. And there are many holistic doula certification programs that are out there. They cover the entire full spectrum, birth, postpartum, as well as abortion and loss. So they cover the entire full spectrum. And that's the reason why they call themselves full spectrum doulas. There are many certification programs out there as well. You do have programs that focus specifically on birth, specifically on postpartum. And then you have programs that focus on birth and bereavement, a bereavement or death or baby loss, doula certification. And then one thing I did not add up here is your fertility doulas. You have doulas that focus on fertility or that perinatal period pre-conception before you actually get pregnant. So as you can see, there is a well range of certification programs that are out there, of the different classifications of doulas. What they do are all a little different, but they all ultimately are coming together with one to support the family emotionally and physically and provide them information. And ultimately, you should find a program that is that lines up with your beliefs and values, but is going to help reduce Black infant and maternal mortality rates. I mean, ultimately, if you help the marginalized, you're going to help everybody. So that's what you should be looking for. So some of the recommended doula programs that I love, obviously, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Sisters in Loss doula training. After this, I'll share a little bit about the training that I'm launching. But I love Mama Glow doula training with Lantham Thomas. Mama Shafia, Shafia Monroe, she has an excellent doula training that is definitely ancestral based. Sister Midwife has a good one, Ancient Song. The National Doula Birth Association just relaunched their doula training. It's called Rebirth. Birthmark Root has a great program. Still Birthday is what I use and went through to become a birth and bereavement doula, and then Doula Training International. All of these programs that I'm listing here are just ones that I love, that I know that are evidence-based, and that I know that are focused on Black infant and maternal mortality. This is what they are, they live and they breathe, and you're gonna talk about really what does that look like to help those marginalized, those who are disenfranchised, who are definitely the least of these when it comes to those rates. And there are so many others that are out there that if you probably Google doula training, you'll find them to come up there. I don't necessarily like to recommend those to people just because I know that they aren't rooted in the way they should be. Like, they should be rooted into the marginalized folks. The rates that are high are mostly focused on Black and brown communities, and that is exactly what they should be focusing on, but a lot of them aren't. So my recommendation to you all, as you see these here, and you'll see this once I send this out to you in a presentation form, that definitely choose the program that aligns with your benefits and values. I'm just giving you some suggestions on programs that I love, the leaders of those programs. And I know several people who have gone through all of these programs and are doing extremely great work.
Now, more than ever, we need doulas. We need you. Doulas are support persons who help birthing people before, during, and at their pregnancies. Doulas are a critical piece of the puzzle to help reduce Black infant and maternal mortality rates in the country. And I know we need you. So you want to become a doula? Register today at sistersinloss.com/doula training for more information.
So what does it cost for doula training to become a doula? So training and certification ranges, and I put $900 here, but it can actually go higher than that depending on what the training is. But I say from about $100 to about $900, depending on the different doula training program that you go through. It typically takes to become certified from 3 months to 2 years. Some programs allow you to go up to 2 years to complete required coursework, whether it's recommended reading, movies, any reports that you may have to do, book reports or movie reports, and then attending so many births. I've seen programs go from as little as 3 births up to 9 births, depending on the certification. So I know you're wondering, okay, what is my return on my investment? If I'm spending $900, Erica, how do I price myself as a doula? I like to use the rule of thumb that it's really based on your experience. You know, as you all know, working in industry, if you work in corporate America, you typically get paid based on your experience. As more experience you have, typically you get paid more. So I like to say that's very similar how doulas are structured, that you, if you've had less than 12 births, you fall into a certain structure. If you fall, you know, tier 2, 13 to 35, tier 3, 35 to 75, tier 4, 76 to 125. And then if you've gone, you have more than 125 births, A lot of them are considered master doulas, where they go and get some extra certifications where they can do like neonatal resuscitation and things like that. And they can charge upward to $1,800. Now, it doesn't mean that if you even fall in tier one, that you don't, that you may have someone that charges $1,800. You may. It just really depends on that person's experience, what their clientele looks like, et cetera, et cetera. But I just wanted to give you kind of a market-based cost. A lot of doulas that I know that I work with, what I work with in the community here, they have a sliding scale based on the need. And if there's a need there, they won't charge anybody just because they know that there's a need and they want to make sure that that family has a positive birth outcome. So, there are a lot of legislation going on right now. We just passed something here in Virginia around doula certification and getting paid a stipend for those who support through the Medicaid and Medicare program. New York went through a big process. They did not pass their law. I know California may be going through some law changes around doula certification and doulas actually getting paid a living wage. So I would definitely say keep your pulse, your ear down, and understand exactly what is happening in the state that you reside in so that you can understand how do I qualify to become a certified doula under whatever that program is. What does that certification requirements look like? How do I have to keep up my certification so that if your state government is starting to pay out stipends for becoming a doula or to support clients who are on Medicaid or Medicare, that you are in that number. Like I said, Virginia's just starting to form it. They just passed the law back in the end of February, we just passed that law. So we're in that forming stage now to really understand exactly what is a doula certification program look like, how much does that cost, who are the certifying bodies around doula certification, how can we ensure that doulas are being, that are getting the support they need, but also are making a living wage? And what does that living wage look like? So some of the questions that you may get from a potential client, because a lot of clients do ask these questions, and I welcome them, and you should too, is that they're going to want to know what type of training you had, what services you provide, what are your fees, you know, are you available for those due dates? You know, what are your philosophies around childbirth and pain management? You know, what is a birth plan? How do I make a birth plan? Should I have a birth plan? Do I need a birth plan? You know, what happens if you can't be there while I'm doing my birthing process? And I wanted to share these questions with you all because I think that's something that you should think about as you want to support someone in this most crucial life-changing moment, is that yes, it is good on paper, but being a doula and supporting a person and a family through birth is a lot of work. You want to make sure that that you may see these numbers here and be like, well, girl, like that's a lot of work for, you know, I'm spending 40 hours in a birth and then I did 2 extra visits. I've been on call 24/7 for this person. You know, you want to make sure that you're taking all of that into consideration when it comes to how much you charge and the value that you're adding to that family and to that community. So I want to make sure that I'm sharing that with you all. So lastly here, I want to talk about the Sisters in Law Doula Training and Certification. This program is a 6-week live course. I got a discount for you all. Yes, it's $497, but I got a discount for you all since y'all are on the call. It is to do this training, you have to obviously attend the online training, the 6-week course. Attend 3 births or losses. If you attend someone who's gone through a loss or an abortion within 12 months of the training, that you complete the recommended book list review, the movie list review. As a part of this, you will also be a part of a mastermind of Sisters in Law Doulas. You would have a recommended resource list for booking consistent clientele. And then we'll do training on, you know, setting up your website, your email list, and outlooks going forward. This also, so what should you expect throughout this training is how to be an advocate for an expectant mother, how to provide support during your client's birthing process, you know, how to apply body pressure skills to ensure you are helping relieve pain for those parents and birthing families who do not want pain management through an epidural. You know, how do you charge appropriately? How do you, support a family through a cesarean? What does support during postpartum look like? How do you build a business based on long-term sustainability? Like, if I wanted to transition this into my full-time job, Erica, how do I do that? How do you build a network and then give back to your community? And that's that community doula support that I was talking about earlier. So how you sign up? So tonight, since you are on this call, you are able to get $200 off of this training. So that means that you use the code 200 off. You will be able to get the course at $297. And you can register at sistersinlaws.com/doula training. This training actually begins on April the 19th at 8 p.m. And it'll be every Sunday for 6 weeks. We'll go through this training. And then after that, you would have a year to complete your certification process. That is all. So what I will do is I'm going to open this up for questions. Hold on. Any questions on how to become a doula? What a doula is, what they do, programs that I recommended.
And I have a question.
Yes.
So the program that you're offering, so you'll be able to be certified as a doula regardless of the state we're in?
Yes, regardless of the state you're in. Yeah, it's a virtual program, so you can do it regardless of your state you're in. What we will do is in the cohort, I'll find out all your states, and then I'll do research on requirements, especially if your state has laws in place around doula certification and getting paid through Medicaid or Medicare. Any other questions? One lady on the chat said, is it challenging to be a doula and work full time? Yes, it is very challenging to be a doula and work full time, mainly because you got to know what your limitations are on how many clients you can take a month. So like Raina just said, she had a friend that's due in July and a friend that's due in November. I would ultimately just probably take one client in July and one client in November, or one client every month. It's depending on their birthing month, right? Because you don't know if you had multiple clients, you may not know when they actually go into labor, and labor process is long. So, if you're part of the Sisters in Laws doula cohort that we're doing with this training, I'm going to hook you up into a doula program that is local to where you are. And if not, we're going to help you start one. Because having a community doulaship where you have other people you can bounce ideas off of, that you can help support, helps you through that long birthing process, especially if you work full-time. So like for me, I work full-time. I have 3 doulas that I can call on, or they can call on me, and we all support each other in each of our laboring processes. I hope that answers your question. Yeah, full-time doula work does keep you busy. Sierra says, yeah, she don't know how it's possible to do both. You just don't take as many clients. I mean, I'm a test of that you take 1 or 2 clients a month, and that's what you do to be able to do it. But yeah, sometimes you take time off. You know, I've taken the last 3 months off of being a doula to support people just because I knew that my job, I was not going to be able to do it with my full-time position. So you all have to just figure out what works for you and your family. Dr. Saida said definitely have a family plan of support too, where you're definitely planning with your family on how that support role works. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that definitely plays a role in it too. How who's taking care of the kids? If you have kids at home, who's watching, getting the kids off the bus and making sure, you know, your partner is getting taken care of as well. So that's something that we all got to do that. Oh, awesome. Yes. I think that if you are interested in being a part of this certification program, that you definitely should support people regardless. Whether it's a live birth or if it's a person who's going through an abortion or loss, I think that I'm just focusing on that because I think that that's a need that is in the doula community where we don't talk a lot about loss enough, or, and I have felt myself supporting a lot of doulas who are birth doulas and may not have gotten that adequate training on how to support people through loss. So I'm focusing a lot on loss just because it's my calling and something that I want to do on, but I am definitely focusing on birth because birth is a part of that whole process. And as much as people don't like to think of loss as a birth, it is a birth as well. So any other questions? Any other questions? If not, I'm going to you all email in your inbox as well as the replay of this, and I'll send the replay out to all of those who were not able to make the webinar tonight. Definitely look at these doula certification programs that I listed here that are on here. They all have training coming up, and they've all gone virtual. So that's another good thing. Since we are in this pandemic, that a lot of these trainings have gone virtual, which makes it a lot easier as well. And if they haven't gone virtual, they're doing trainer later on in the year where it's an in-person training later on in the year where you can go sit down and actually get this training in a weekend, like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of training. So hopefully that this was helpful for you all. I enjoy doing this. This is something that I'm very passionate about. It's been a passion project for me to talk about what life is like being a doula. And I hope to see you all being certified. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you, especially in these times, especially with the uncertainty around this virus. And pregnant persons and birthing persons are critical, especially in Black and brown communities. So we need you all. Thank you all for your time and attention. I love you all. I'll see you all on the other side.
Yes, I'm so excited. You stayed until the end of this episode to get this discount code. As a Sisters-in-Laws listener, you will receive 100 off this Sisters-in-Laws birth and bereavement training and certification program. So go to sistersinlaws.com/doula training and enter code 100 off 100 OFF and receive $100 off this training. Once again, go to sistersinlaws.com/doula training and enter code 100 off for $100 off the Sisters in Laws Doula Training and Certification Program. I'm excited for you to join us in our next cohort. So register today and I will see you all on Sunday, June 7, 2020 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. For show notes and more information on today's guests, go to sistersinlaws.com. If you have not joined our online community, go to sistersinlaws.com as well as sign up for our newsletter. We want you to be a part of the community so you can know all of the events that we have planned on as Sisters-in-Laws. Go to sistersinlaws.com, sign up for our newsletter, join our online community, and stay connected with us. Talk to you soon.